Would you build a house without a foundation? Would you have a child and not name it? Would you let a stranger squat on your property? No, of course not. So why should the internet be any different? Every week, speak with top domain experts. Learn how to make money with domains. Know your legal rights. Each week, join our expert host to be master of your domain. Right here on Domain Masters.
And here we are for another week of Domain Masters on WebmasterRadio.fm. I'm Jonathan Frakes, your guest host, and I'm filling in for Monty Kahn, the enigmatic and energetic presence of the domain name industry, who we all love. And, you know, we're coming up on a really great interview for this show. Really excited about it. We're going to have Alexa Rad, the CEO of .org, the PIR, on to talk a lot about what they're doing in the coming year, some of the accomplishments they've had. And there's a huge following of .org, so it'll be a really great show for people who are supporters and fans of .org. And if you're not yet, you might be interested to because of some of the things that they're accomplishing and blazing forward with in the coming year. Now, I do want to remind people the upcoming Domain Fest Global 2009 is approaching rapidly. There's a Domainer Bootcamp aspect of it on January 27th, and then the conference itself will be the 28th through the 30th, and this will be at the Renaissance Hotel in Hollywood, California. This is where the historic Groman's Chinese Theater is there. You can see all the footprints in the cement and all the Hollywood stars. I mean, you're literally right in the middle of it all. And it'll be a great event for people who are looking to, kind of elevate their game and recharge their batteries on, their inspiration in our great industry, the domain industry. There's also a little bit of time left to obviously check out the auctions at the Domain Fest. There'll be a low and no reserve auction happening on the evening of the 27th from 7 to 8 p.m. There'll be live and online bidding for that. There's another premium live auction happening January 29th. In the afternoon Pacific time from 1:30 to 5 o'clock Pacific. Definitely check that out. The place to look that up is at marketplacepro.moniker.com. And you can go to the Domain Fest website, domainfest.com, to take a look at what we have cooking there. .me and .travel have submitted as registries some of the premium held-aside inventory that's just being released, and it's being released through the live auction. There's great names like city.travel, europe.travel, fly.travel, free.travel, information.travel, great .me domain names like alert.me, read.me, save.me, other premium names like kathy.com, husband.com, freecreditreports.net, bachelor.com, great domain names. Take a look at, you can see the list of domains that are available, the preliminary list of highlighted domain names at marketplacepro.moniker.com, and you can still submit domains leading up to the event. There's also information about if you want to participate either live auction or absentee by looking at the bidding options available as you go to look up the Domain Fest Global auction at marketplacepro.moniker.com. They'll accept in-person bidding registration. They're also you can download the bidding software. You can set up to participate by telephone, or also you can submit absentee bidding information through registration. Now, after the break, we have some fantastic things to discuss with Alexa Rad, the CEO of PIR. I do want to take a moment and wish a happy new year to all the listeners of the Domain Master Show. We're really grateful for your participation. It's a privilege, of course, for me to be your host. I'm Jonathan Frakes, and I'll be right back after the break with Alexa Rad, the CEO of PIR, and we'll be right back.
You're just minutes away from more Domain Masters.
The question is, are you still master of your domain?
Stay tuned.
When it comes to finding the right customers with the right keywords, all you have to remember is ABC Search. ABC Search is the world's largest privately held pay-per-click network, giving advertisers the best pay-per-click traffic with over 6 billion searches a month and industry-leading protection using ClickShield. their patent-pending fraud identification software, you can trust ABC Search to deliver the best possible traffic. When thinking about PPC and publisher solutions, all you need to remember is ABC Search. Quality partners, quality search. ABCSearch.com.
Are your domains locked to the max? If not, your online brand presence and your entire online business could be at risk from internet thieves. Imagine the damage that you and your company would suffer if control of your domain was lost. Protect all of your valuable domains with MaxLock from Moniker, your domain asset management specialist. With MaxLock, even if your email accounts are hacked and your passwords are stolen, your domains are protected in your Moniker account. Transfer your domains to Moniker today, powered by MaxLock, delivering maximum protection for your domains. Find out more at moniker.com/MaxLock.
SEOseek.com is your one-stop site for everything SEO. From search engine marketing to pay-per-click management, SEOseek.com delivers high-quality SEO services at affordable prices. SEOseek.com can help you with SEO analysis, monthly reports, title and meta tag optimization, email support, and so much more. Want to keep your SEO in-house? Let our professional trainers teach SEO to your staff. Get a free quote and a free competitive analysis today at SEOseek.com.
Jim Hedger and Dave Davies bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world.
Webcology, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Now, back to Domain Masters.
So you're still master of your domain.
Yes! Master of my domain.
Here's your host.
And we're back with a special interview. We've had the privilege and pleasure to have an interview. We've got on our show today a very special executive in the domain industry at the registry of .org. We have Alexa Ratt, the CEO of PIR. I'm just reading through your bio, and I'll share it for the folks who have not had the opportunity to get to know who you are. You became the CEO of .org in 2007, and you oversee the management and day-to-day operations of the .org registry. But you've been in, 20 years in telecommunications and payment and internet sectors, and you were previously the chief marketing officer at .mobi. And helped launch that as one of, I think, the most successful TLD launches. And, of course, we worked together at VeriSign for a number of years. So it's really great to have you on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And .org, you took over last year, and we're already seeing a lot of really cool changes. .org has... as a TLD, really thrived and flourished, over the years. Obviously, as a available namespace, it's not restricted, but there's a lot to it that has been really attractive to general registrants. Can you tell us a little about some of what you're doing with .org and what PIR is?
Sure. Let me start with the company. PIR, it stands for Public Interest Registry, and PIR was founded by the Internet Society a few years ago to take over the registrations for .org, the management and registration for .org. Now, what we've done with .org over the past, I kind of like to think of .org as having been a rough diamond, I think to a certain extent it still is. It has an incredible amount of really good content, about 85 to 87% good content. If you ever look up at search engines and look at what are some of the TLDs that come up, that is the reason why you'll see that being rated very high. So all of that, really for the domainer and the secondary market, ought to mean one thing, traffic. Right? I think you guys have a conference every year, and it's called Traffic Conference. There's a reason for it, because that is the holy grail. And .org sees significant traffic. as a result of not only good content, very high renewal rates, and also a certain sense of community and trust. When you see a .org address, you don't expect there to be somebody trying to hawk you something you really don't need or try to, you know, maliciously download malware or things like that. It's really a trusted domain, and it's kind of grown up organically, you know, but intended that way through the past 5 years. So, in that sense, truly is a rough diamond. And some of the things that we've done is really try to enhance .org, is build branding behind it, try to increase the level of visibility and value behind .org across the globe.
Well, and it's definitely showing. I've noticed that. Well, you know, you and I are pretty old school as far as internet stuff goes, but I remember a time when there were more .orgs than there were .coms. And it's I also remember at the point where .org split off, I mean, it seemed for a number of years, and I think this will resonate with a lot of our maybe our more established users who've, you know, date back into the early to mid 90s and you know, even leading up to the formation of ICANN in 98, that, you know, the kind of the pecking order or frustration was, okay, can I get the .com? Okay, no, I can't. Then I'll use .net or .org as an alternative to those. And I've really seen that change as a mindset over the years, especially with .org kind of splitting off, being the not-for-profit that it is. But now there's a lot of, a distinction with .org being a kind of a primary focus for not-for-profits, or at least less formal businesses, and wanting to get their content out, and it's a fantastic distinction. And a lot of places are under this, anything to do to promote PIR, because PIR does a lot; it gives back a lot to the Internet Society and some of the things they're doing.
Yeah, thank you very much for mentioning that. I mean, The organization behind .org actually was set up to help support the activities of the Internet Society. So it's a very integral part of the fabric of the Internet, if you will. And we do try to get involved aside from just, selling .org and managing it in the best way we know how, to also give back to the community, to the Internet community in particular. And I can talk about those things a little bit later. But I think getting back to .org and the distinction that you're talking about, it's really important to know that, you know, even though PIR itself, the registry, is a nonprofit, .org is really more than just for nonprofit. I mean, we always use the example, we say .org is a community. It truly is and has a sense of community. So you can think of, you know, your local Little League, the community association, the wikis, the blogs, the social networking sites, the, you know, open source software. All of these folks have actually adopted .org because it's the perfect distinction. I like your word, distinction. From a .com. And to them, it denotes a certain sense of trust, a certain rigor in the content. And that's one something we're very proud of. You know, that's something that we're trying to kind of highlight more and more.
So, Alexa, you know, it sounds like there's a lot of that's been done. Obviously, you took over in 2007. .org has a new Web 2.0 beautiful logo. There's some, you know, real distinctions for community that are happening. And, you know, so what are some of the investments that are being made to help kind of bolster that community sense of .org?
Sure. There's a couple of things that you already mentioned. I mean, we changed, obviously, the logo, the website. We're kind of walking the walk and talking the talk, if you will, in terms of .org itself having a community. So we have a Facebook site. So please look us up on Facebook under .org, the Public Interest Registry. We also have tried to implement programs that highlight incredible work that's happening behind certain .org sites. So we were the official sponsor last year for the Webbies, which is the equivalent of the Oscars for the Internet. And for anyone who has ever attended that, it's sort of the who's who of the Internet world. You get to meet some of the high-flying, you know, for example, the founders of Facebook, as well as people from the entertainment side of the business. And it's a way to try to highlight and reward people who are incredibly innovative. And if you look at .org and the .org content and the .org sites, there's a lot of really incredibly innovative sites. So I'll give you an example. One of the winners last year was Artocracy, and it's basically a website that allows you to bring, you know, beautiful art to the masses and make it affordable. Another one was NPR, and I listen to NPR every day, you know, which is a news show. There are sites that basically try to help people figure out, you know, what's fact and what's fiction in the political dialogue. So there's all sorts of, you know, Craigslist was another winner. I mean, all sorts of really innovative websites and founders, and we were there as an official sponsor for that. We also have, we put out programs to recognize incredible.orgs on our website under the extraordinary.org program. We also have done roadshows. We've gone to different parts of the world, Berlin, London, etc. We give the stage essentially to the .orgs to come up and talk about what they've done and give them a certain highlight. All of that really increases the value of the .org domain name as a whole, and it also increases the visibility of the .org domain name as a distinction, as something that is far more valuable in terms of traffic ultimately.
Well, that's awesome, and you know, probably one of the key things that we're seeing is a lot of participation in the conferences. Obviously, you're at, you know, every ICANN event, but you know, we're seeing a lot of you in the aftermarket events as well, and I think Lance is speaking at the upcoming Domain Fest at the end of the month as well. Lance Wallach, right?
That's right. That's right. Lance and Nyla are both going to be there to represent .org, and Lance is going to be talking about the white paper that we just did on .org and the secondary market.
That's excellent. And we are seeing .orgs actually with a really good growth in the overall value of the domains in the aftermarket. We're really seeing them having good values, and we're seeing some very good sales in the aftermarket with the .org domain names. So something's going right there.
Well, that's awesome. I'm really glad to hear. Really glad to hear. Yeah, we've been watching those too, actually. It's always very satisfying when we actually see some of the efforts and the investments that we've made in building visibility and brand pay off in the aftermarket. Obviously, there's no financial benefit for us, but it's really gratifying to see that it's paying off for the folks participating in the aftermarket.
But we can expect to see PIR at some of the aftermarket events and see you in the crowd and maybe discuss .org with you know, typically Lance or Nyla or yourself or others. That's great. That's good to see that kind of support. And it really steps up for the aspect of community that you're discussing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think so too. I should also mention, you know, Jonathan, we were talking about traffic and we were talking about the value of .org. Something that I haven't touched on before in this interview. I don't know how many of your listeners are following this, the DNSSEC discussions. And you know, last year, the DNSSEC discussions were really very kind of technical and focused on, you know, very small circles. And what's happened, I think everybody's by now heard of the Kaminsky bug, which was one of the biggest news of 2008.
Totally.
DNSSEC. Go ahead.
Well, and this is exactly the next question. You're so intuitive. This is the next question I was about to ask, is to talk about what you're doing with DNSSEC, because you're just blazing a trail. You're pioneering and kind of moving it from the you're bringing it into the marketplace. I think .se and some of the ccTLDs had, you know, really kind of pioneered for it. But you're the first gTLD to introduce DNSSEC, and that is very meaningful. But you're about to explain what DNSSEC is in general,
right?
And how it applies.
I think, first of all, I mean, I think a lot of kudos really goes to some of these early pioneers in the ccTLD realm. They did a lot, and I think they did a lot to increase the visibility of a DNSSEC and at least put it into the conversation. So we owe a debt of gratitude to all these guys. So DNSSEC essentially makes sure it ensures your traffic. It makes sure that your traffic isn't going to get hijacked. And for anybody who in the secondary or domain or market, I think traffic is a main thing, and that's how revenues are made, and that's how domains are evaluated. And funny enough, early on when we announced DNSSEC and we were talking to some registrars to see get their participation, we had a few say to us, you know, we want to talk to you. These are people who we hadn't really approached yet. They said, we want to talk to you because we have customer segments who are very interested in DNSSEC. And, of course, we thought they were banking and, you know, the traditional folks would be interested in something like this. And lo and behold, it was actually some major domainers. And the reason was that they saw this as a way to ensure their traffic. So I think for the domainer market, you know, you should be following the discussions on DNSSEC, and we will be the first GTLD. We are the first GTLD to start implementation on DNSSEC, and so far everything has gone according to plan. Knock on wood. But I think it's something that you should be considering as part of your portfolio. How many of your domain names are going to be secured with DNSSEC?
That's very cool. And, you know, one of the things to mention is that, you know, what's it, the Kaminsky bug that folks were talking about, where you can divert traffic to, you know, to a given site based off of how that works. So, you know, obviously I don't want to talk about that or give people ideas because, you know, this is largely trying to focus on white hat, what's called white hat activity. But, you know, I'm sure there are some domain entrepreneurs out there, clever entrepreneurs who have figured out that if they set up a name server and say that they can answer for .org and then run whatever they want inside of that .org, I think it's called cache poisoning is the thing. But,
that's right.
You know, there's no laws against this. There's no rules against it. And folks can commonly do that to divert the natural traffic to a given domain name. And I'd imagine that there are folks doing that and using that in conjunction with PPC. So what you're doing, in essence, is you are not only adding value to the domain owner so that they don't get the traffic diverted. They get the actual value of their domain. But, you know, also, if you really think about it, you're sort of fortifying the emotional infrastructure and the integrity of the PPC market through this as well. Because
the
advertiser gets better traffic.
Jonathan, I think that's a really important point because when you think about PPC and you think about the relationship with the advertisers want to be assured of the revenue and they want to be assured of the traffic, not only of the past but also going forward. And that's a big part of any kind of agreement, right? And we also know that the crooks are not sticking to their own existing plans, but they're also getting smarter. They're getting smarter, and we've seen this, for example, with phishing. What Kaminsky showed is you don't need a fake website to go ahead and hijack traffic. I don't need to get Bank of America, you know, customer service dot, you know, whatever TLD. I can very easily hijack traffic from Bank of America. And it's going to look the same to the customer. So that's something that, you know, he showed can be done. And it's really important for everybody to take. I think that was probably the biggest news of 2008. So how often is this happening? Well, we know that it's happening quite a bit, and it's probably going to increase more and more because more and more services are actually dependent on domain names, on the domain name system. However, understandably, some of the folks that are hit are very, very careful not to make the results of this public. Unfortunately, folks who are hit by incidents like this aren't necessarily eager to make things public, and that's understandable. However, I think everybody understands and everybody recognizes that incidents like this are going to happen more and more. So I think all the more reason why anybody who is interested in traffic at all ought to pay very, very keen interest to not only DNSSEC, but when and how it will be implemented for the TLDs in their portfolio.
Well, then that's important. Now, you were talking about phishing, too. Now, you're very active in anti-phishing efforts. Like, you're the chair of what's called the RISG. Can you tell people a little bit about this? Because it sounds like, you know, you understand a bit about the phishing stuff and are taking some efforts, obviously, with DNSSEC to help kind of reduce these impacts. What is the RISG? And tell us a little bit about your role there.
Sure. RISG stands for Registry Internet Safety Group. And it was a group that we initiated back last year. And the reason behind this is, look, as I mentioned, you know, the bad guys, the crooks, are getting smarter and smarter. And the other thing is that we within the internet community, if you think about this as a community, if you think about the internet as a neighborhood, right, a community with different neighborhoods, it no longer serves our purpose to kind of look at the problems that have happened on the internet and think, well, it's out of my neighborhood, so I guess it's fine. Because what happens is they're simply going to go to another neighborhood, they're going to get better, they're going to come back. So there needed to be a way to actually be collaborative in terms of trying to figure out how to prevent the problem, not necessarily always try to figure out who did it after the damage was done. Jonathan, the RISG stands for Registry Internet Safety Group, and it was a group that we started last year to try and address the problems in terms of phishing and malware, and to address it in a collaborative way. So why collaborative? A couple of reasons. Number one, if we think of the internet as a community comprised of different neighborhoods, it does not serve us very well to think about it as, oh, well, I had a problem in my neighborhood, but, you know, they moved on to somebody else. Fact is that those folks, those bad guys, go on to another TLD. They become better, smarter, and they come back to yours. Second reason is that when you actually collaborate and you check some of the competitive notions at the door and you get together and you look at the problem from the registrar angle, the registry angle, the security software provider, even law enforcement, you're able to actually see it through a 3D dimensional view of the activity, and you're able to be much better and much smarter in figuring out how to prevent stuff from happening rather than how to always figure out how to, you know, cure it or you know, fix it after the fact. So the RISG group is comprised of all of the important GTLD registries, as well as some CCTLD registries, some of the largest ones, including federal enforcement, both U.S. and European. We have also security groups like Cyveillance and Symantec. We've got some of the largest registrars like GoDaddy and Network Solutions. You know, really, some of the top guys, some of the top minds, we get together on a monthly basis. And then at every ICANN, we meet for half a day in person. And we've tried to think about the problems. We have thought about the problems, and we've I isolated a couple of ways that we could actually get at the heart of the solution much faster, better, with better data than we had ever before.
And that's good. So it's like a facilitation and coordination. And your role there is as you're the chair, if I'm not mistaken. So that's great. And given, I think, the relationships and contacts that you have in the industry, that probably really lends itself to a lot more collaboration and cooperation. So that's really wonderful to see. Now, will this cut down the Nigerian emails offering, you know, the bank transfer? I don't know, right? But hey, it certainly is. It nips away at the edges of some of the maybe the darker practices on the internet.
Right. Well, you mean to tell me the Nigerian ones aren't true?
You know, they very well could be. You know, I've never heard a success story on that. But you know, if they get some success,
right,
that's good.
Right. Yeah, and I thought I was very lucky. Yeah, well, I mean, some of the Nigerian ones are really spam, but
right,
the most damaging ones are really the phishing and the malware. If you know anybody who's ever had their computer compromised by a bit of malware that they downloaded without their knowledge, you know, I have parents, and you know, my mom in particular is constantly on email, and she's pointed out to me a couple of the emails. And thank God she hasn't done anything with it yet. But I mean, you really have to be pretty savvy to know that these emails are not real. And they're getting and worse.
Yeah, definitely. And in the case of working towards, I guess, rounding it back out with DNSSEC and tying that in, DNSSEC helps eliminate that because the integrity of the lookup helps to, because it's secure from end to end, it's much harder to do anything interruptive between, I guess, the authoritative name servers and the visitor's computer. Right. And so that's the value of DNSSEC just fundamentally.
That's right.
I mean, you and I, are very aware of all of these things. But, for John Q. Public or maybe a listener who's new to the domain industry, helping understand what the DNSSEC is, it's DNS service security. And it's basically something that happens by DNS information being signed inside of a zone. And, really the most authoritative place is at the very top, which is at the primary name server for a whole TLD, so that it can be something that's meaningful.
Right.
So I think that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Jonathan, I mean, one of the easy ways that we can explain this, this is an example that was used, and I just loved it. I mean, think about when you make a phone call, right? If I pick up the phone, I call your number, which is essentially what you're doing when you're typing an address. In a telephone scenario, if I dial your number exactly, I always expect to get you or your phone or your voicemail.
Right.
However, and people think that really translates into the DNS world, where you type in a particular address, and of course you're going to get that particular web page. However, the distinction is that's not always true. Because of the fact that there is no DNSSEC implemented currently, you can put in an address exactly, and you may not get to that web page. That web page may be compromised, the traffic may be hijacked, and you may be putting in pretty valuable data, or you may be clicking on ads that do not belong to the original domain name registrant. So that's a distinction, and that's something that I think the everyday person probably has in their mind, that this is very much like, you type in the right address, you got to get to the right web page, and not true.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's very admirable. Now, as far as what we can expect to see in 2009, kind of going back to .org and PIR in general, you have, 7.2 million domain names under .org now, which is very impressive. What are some of the things that PIR is doing to increase the user base and grow the base of registrants? And what are you doing as far as that goes in addition to DNSSEC and some of the other marketing activity?
Well, you mentioned the 7.2 million names. As impressive as that is, realize that there's a ton of really great names that are still available. I mean, if you have to compare that to the 80-plus million of .com and the complaint that you get all the time that the good names are gone. I mean, tons of really great names are still available in .org, right? So what are we doing to actually increase the value of the inventory that we have, the current and the potential inventory that we have? Obviously, we're going to continue some of the marketing and branding efforts that we have, but that's really a long-term investment. It's nothing that we expect for a few months to pay out and see incredible results. So we expect to be at the Webbies again. We expect to be one of the official sponsors, so the main sponsors, and to be participating in all of their activities. The Webbies is not just a one-time event. It's really throughout the year, and they have different recognitions. Some of them are by the Academy itself, and some of them are the People's Choice, which we hosted an event last year in London for that. So we participate in the Webbies. We plan to – last year was the record number of .orgs not only nominated but who also won. So we expect that this year to even increase that. We want to have a record number of nominations and a record number of wins, again, over last year. We're going to continue to do the extraordinary.org. So we're going to continue to work on our DNSSEC. As I mentioned, we haven't missed a deadline yet on DNSSEC, thank God. And we continue to march on with the implementation plans on that. We are also going to look at expanding .org internationally. I mean, .org is extremely well known in the United States. However, as you know, in some areas across the world, it's seen as one of the top three. You know, com.org, as you initially mentioned. So we need to build the brand value behind that in some of the key markets. So you'll see us not just in the U.S., not just in some key European ones. I think you'll see us more and more, and you'll see some really incredible .orgs highlighted that underline the story that this isn't just for nonprofit. .org really belongs to every individual, every community.
Well, and there's one within the domainer space that many of the folks who attend conferences or follow the trades is very active is grassroots.org. It's a very good sort of a way to give back to the community. So grassroots.org is, an example yep. of something that's happening inside of the domain name space. And we're seeing quite a bit of other things like, obviously, Wikipedia, a variety of different sort of social networking sites and wikis and blogs, as you mentioned earlier in the interview. So this is great. This is wonderful stuff. And we're really happy to have you take some time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. Domainers will be able to see Lance Wallach give some presentation and discuss the white paper that you have coming out on the aftermarket. And he'll be at the upcoming Domain Fest at the end of the month, correct?
That's right.
Well,
and
Alexa.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. And thank you, of course, for being on. It's a great privilege to have someone from the .org registry, especially the CEO, to talk to folks in the domain community. On behalf of the listeners of Domain Masters, I express my gratitude for you joining us, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too, and thank you so much for having me. It really was a pleasure. Thanks.
And that was Alexa Ratt, the CEO of PIR, the .org registry, sharing some of the information about what they're doing and some of the cool things that are happening with .org and how they're helping to kind of bolster the pay-per-click market and the integrity of traffic for .org owners. We're grateful to have had Alexa on this week. Now, kind of in closing, we still have a little bit of time before the upcoming Domain Fest at the end of the month. And passes are still on discount between now and the 26th of January. You can still get the $9.95 price at domainfest.com. We're getting domain submissions as well. There's still sand in the hourglass for domain submissions, but time's running out. Get them to us at marketplacepro.moniker.com. And, we got some great names. There's some premium.travel domain names, premium.me domain names that are registry allocated specific for these live auctions, and it's kind of a special, unique, and exclusive experience that has happened there, as well as very, very good values in some top-tier.com domain names. So I encourage people to take a look at the Domain Fest website. Take a look at some of the speakers. There's 21 speakers, including Mr. Wozniak, one of the founders of Apple Computer. And some great events and activities in and around the Domain Fest, including a boot camp where people of any experience, from starter to even intermediate and experienced advanced people, there'll be a lot of good sharing and education. And so that's going to be a fantastic event on the 27th, the day, the early day of the event. All right. Well, Happy New Year to all our listeners, and I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this, either live or as a podcast. Once again, this has been Jonathan Frakes on Domain Masters, where you can be the master of your domain. Come back next week.